Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is unbelievable. Two shows in a row, we are together. After 6 months of doing our shows in our homes. But today we're live at Vanderbilt Legends Golf Club out here for Brent Peterson's golf event. Overcast day, should keep the temps down. No rain, raising some great money for Parkinson's disease, and we're excited about that. We'll tell you more about it a little bit later in the program. Let's head out to Denver. They're hopefully going to kick off before midnight tonight. Titans and Broncos. Everybody should take a nap in the afternoon to watch this game. Andy Lindahl, Altitude Sports out in Denver. Afternoon host out there. Andy, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. I was telling Elijah, I don't know how you got sucked into our bad time slot. They treat us like the West Coast out here because nobody knows what to do with the Mountain Time Zone. So we've had this 8:20 kickoff here before. I feel bad for everybody waiting until 9:20 there. Frankly, it kind of sucks.
It does. That's why I'm saying if you really want to be dialed into this tonight, you might want to take a nap this afternoon for tomorrow's purposes. So we talked in the first hour about a lot of the Titans' injuries and who they'll be missing in tonight's contest. We know the Von Miller situation, but there's a lot of other guys banged up that are questionable for tonight. Some important pieces to this Denver lineup. Where are they on that as we sit here on the day of the game?
Well, last I could tell, Courtland Sutton, and that's the kid that you really want to watch. He's their big receiver 14. He's their playmaker. Jerry Jeudy looks like he's going to be a very good NFL receiver, but as you guys know, you don't know what to expect out of rookies. They could shine or they could not show up for the first month of the season, and we've had no training camp to gauge just how ready they are for the pro game. Jeudy, frankly, looked really good the first couple weeks at camp, and I'm one of the few guys because of my show's time slot that I actually got to go and watch most of camp. He kind of tailed off towards the end. He wasn't getting quite as open as he was as they started really kind of trying to go game speed. So I'm not sure what to expect out of him tonight. I guess Courtland fell on his elbow because this happened during a practice period. He fell on his elbow and jammed the AC joint up in there. Painful injury. Mike Williams, I think, did something similar if you were watching Hard Knocks for the Chargers. So if Courtland plays tonight, we don't know how effective he's going to be. And that's huge because, honestly, the Broncos offense was ugly to watch in camp. They're trying to get this Pat Shurmur offense in. It's the second straight year for Drew Locke with the new offense. They've honestly had a new QB and a new OC every year since they won the Super Bowl. And so I don't know what to expect out of this tonight. Frankly, the Broncos missing Von Miller. They whipped on trying to get Cameron Wake and Clay Matthews in here to take his spot because they just are kind of trying to be cheap about things right now. This is a game where the Broncos, they want to win it, but they have to be smart with these injuries, so they could be shorthanded tonight for sure.
What about K.J. Hamler? I've seen, I guess Bradley Chubb is fine, but I've seen where he's been battling. I mean, some guys battling through stuff right here, and this is, you know, going into week one. Any other, because obviously Courtland Sutton is a huge piece on their offense, and so if he can't play, that would be, you know, obviously a huge miss for Denver in this contest. But what about these other guys that are banged up? Do you feel good about them playing?
I'll be honest with you, man. K.J. Hamler I've not seen hardly at all. You know, he was there early. Here's what I worry about, and I kind of – I'll just give you guys – I was irritated with the pick. They needed – how this team didn't bring in some offensive tackle competition, I have no idea. I don't – you know, John always done a lot of great things during his time as GM. But his refusal to bring in any real competition for Garrett Bowles, who was a holding machine last year, just mystifies me. And then they had Juwan James just opt out, which I respect. Everyone's got their decisions. He's got a baby at home. But their highly paid right tackle just opts out of the season. Nobody really had any whispers of that coming. So now they're down to another guy that was supposed to be the swing tackle, the backup at both positions in Elijah Wilkinson. They went and got an old Buccaneer in DeMar Dotson, but I would expect he would take the job over, but it doesn't look like he's going to start the year there. Their tackles, though, I don't know if they're going to be able to run the offense they want to run. The tackle play has been horrible. This goes back to when the Broncos and Titans played each other in Nashville. I was a sideline reporter then. One of my favorite trips of that year was going to Nashville. But you guys may remember you won the game late, and the Broncos had a couple shots at the end zone at the end of that. But the bottom line is we go back that far to the Broncos struggling to try to put an offensive line together. And as much as I'm excited to see Drew Lock and how he can develop and is he going to be, he's an NFL quarterback. Can he be an upper-tier NFL quarterback is what we have to find out now. I don't know that we're going to find that out if he's running for his life. And there was a lot of that in camp. Now, he dealt with a camp with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb basically meeting at the quarterback. We think the defense is going to be really good. We've got Jarrell Casey from your neck of the woods who's motivated and just looks like a beast right now. But I don't think our offensive line is very good. So if Jadeveon Clowney gets to play tonight, he may have some early highlights for you guys because the offensive line stinks, and that's what matters the most. Mark, and I shouldn't say the line. The tackles stink. The middle of the line, I think, is solid. But they've got another injury to Mark Farron, who was a linebacker they brought in to try to cover tight ends because that's been an Achilles heel of the defense. He's got a hamstring thing he's dealing with. I don't know what his situation tonight will be. So they're thin at receiver. They're thin at linebacker. They're probably going to have to run the ball, and they're probably going to have to play. Look for the Broncos tight ends. If something were to surprise you tonight, they've got three really good pass-catching tight ends, and those guys might have to be the difference because I don't know how I don't think they're going to be able to run the three wides that Pat Shurmur wants to and hold up with at those tackle positions.
We're talking to Andy Lindahl. He is with Altitude Sports Radio, breaking down the Broncos tonight. So, Andy, tell us how much the scheme has to change without Von Miller in there. We all have this vision of the Broncos last year completely shutting the Titans down, shutting them out, and it changed their whole season because that's when they made the move to Ryan Tannehill. But how much different does it have to look without Miller?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to look too much different right now if Bradley Chubb is right, because unfortunately we had lost Bradley Chubb before or the Broncos lost Bradley Chubb before I think they even played that Titans game. So Vaughn faced a lot of extra attention. That's where Jarrell Casey comes in. They've got a veteran named Jeremiah Atashu who's played for the Jets. I think he had some time with the Chargers. He actually filled in pretty good for the last four or five games last year. And then there's a kid named Malik Reed you can watch for who has flashed but has never been consistent. And they were opposite Von Miller last year, and they did a pretty good job. Atashu, I thought, really fit into the scheme well, and he had a handful of sacks, I want to say, before the end of the season last year. He's the guy I would expect that sort of takes the Von Miller position. But, guys, Bradley Chubb is going to be on a pitch count, as we like to say, because that knee got a little weird for him towards the end of camp. He had surgery to repair his ACL. It wasn't feeling right. If he'd have had some training camp, as some guys told me, not training camp, but some off-season workouts, you know, the OTAs and the normal off-season program, he probably would have had some of the scar tissue stuff show up, break up, maybe even had a cleanup. But he's going through the normal process of trying to get back from that knee injury. So what will have to change is I think they're going to have to blitz a little bit more early or bring extra pressure somehow. And I don't know that Vic Fangio is going to be able to sit back and play the zone that he likes to. He may have to, you know, do some one-on-one matchups with the corners so that he can bring extra pressure. But they've got to figure out a way to stop Derrick Henry. Now, they've looked pretty stout against the Broncos' run game, but you guys know how it is. When you're in camp with no preseason games, I don't know if our defense is going to be really good or if the Broncos' offense is really bad or if it's somewhere in the middle. So tonight we start getting those answers.
Andy Lindahl is with us from Altitude Sports. So another pickup for the Broncos this offseason was A.J. Bouye, and obviously very familiar with him in the AFC South with Houston and Jacksonville. So how much of an impact do you see A.J. Bouye having on this Broncos defense?
Well, you know what? You guys might know better than we do. If he stays healthy, first and foremost, he'll be the team's top corner. He had a good camp. He and Cortland Sutton were battling quite a lot. Matter of fact, a lot of us kind of wanted to see him move over and have some reps against Jerry Jeudy to get a better feel for if Judy's going to be ready to play in an NFL game. He looked good in camp, like I said. Now, I know he's got a little bit of an injury history. I know that he had a bit of an up-and-down season last year. Again, because Vic Fangio likes to play zone. I don't know how much pressure was going to be on Boye. As I understood it, when Vic's really got it going, he likes his pass rush getting home, and that alleviates some of the coverage pressures. But I don't know if the pass rush is going to get home now. You know, Jarrell Casey was unblockable for the Broncos offensive line in camp. They've got another guy named Shelby Harris, who's a very good inside rusher. If those guys do their job, I think Boye is going to be a nice addition. If Boye has to play more man-to-man and is left out on an island the way Chris Harris and Aqib Talib back in 2015 really liked to do it, I guess we'll see if he holds up. Again, he looked good during camp, but this Broncos offense was, it just, you can tell they were struggling. So it's tough to get a good read. We're excited about what he can bring. They got Bryce Callahan back, who they signed as a free agent a year ago. He didn't play a single regular season snap for the team. So we're hoping that secondary is going to hold up, but that's another place where just one little injury in the Broncos would be real thin depth-wise.
Pat Shurmur, as you mentioned, was brought in as the offensive coordinator, but coming from New York, he also brought Mike Shula, to the quarterback's coach, with him, who has a lot of experience in the NFL. How beneficial to Drew Lock do you think Shula can be?
I hope really beneficial. I think Drew was really exciting last year. He frankly gave Bronco fans a little bit of hope in what was a bad season. Drew, though, has a tendency, like he's been late with some throws, and you can tell they like to talk, you know, to go football nerd. He goes off platform. He doesn't get his feet set properly sometimes. I know I've seen Shurmur working with him on the proper base to deliver the ball on time, be a little bit more accurate. Sometimes with Drew, it's not even about being blatantly, you know, inaccurate over someone's head, just missing altogether. But he'll put a ball on the back shoulder where if he puts it on the front shoulder, you know, the route continues, the man hopefully makes the catch and continues to run through what's been designed. There's a lot of times where he'll tackle his own receiver by just being a little bit behind and putting it on that back shoulder. The guy's got to reach back. And I think Josh Allen did one of those yesterday with Cole Beasley where he put it in a spot where the receiver has to go down and get it instead of hitting him in stride, and you could have 6 points. Drew's had a little of that going on, too. He's got a very strong arm. The other thing that's been interesting is we wondered if some of the inaccuracies weren't because he reads things a little late. He's still trying to get used to this Pat Shurmur offense, but I think Coach Shula is going to be good for him. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to hopefully in the middle of the year where I think this offense will look a lot better than it did in camp because, again, things were – this is why the Cortland Sutton injury is so big. A lot of times when the offense or the play wasn't run right, Drew would just put it up to Cortland and give him a chance to make a play. And with that physical mismatch, Cortland would just use his athletic ability to make a great catch and reward Drew for making a throw that he should have made. Without that tonight, if they don't look a little smoother and get the run game going, it might look a little ugly.
Andy, appreciate the visit. Thanks for the update. We'll enjoy the game. You do the same, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Andy Lindahl, Altitude Sports out in Denver. Afternoon host out there on their Sports Talk radio station and breaking down kind of the Broncos and Cortland Sutton. When you think about Von Miller on the defensive side of the ball, him not being in the lineup, no Cortland Sutton, that spells to me big troubles for Denver. We'll come back, discuss a lot more of that on the other side. This is what I know before we get out here this hour. We're live here at Vanderbilt Legends Golf Club for Brent Peterson's golf tournament, raising money for Parkinson's disease, and we're happy to be out here. You're listening to Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. He climbed cathedral mountains, he saw silver clouds below. He saw everything as far as you can see.
And to say appropriate music, getting you ready for tonight. Remember, a 9:20 kickoff. I'm going to go straight from here to baseball practice, and last week, Willie, I had couple of the parents come up to me and say, "Coach, man, I got a bone to pick with you." And I'm like, "Oh, great. What?" And they're like, "You're having practice on Monday night?" And I was like, "Yeah. Yeah, we'll be done by 8 o'clock. Do you know that it's the Titans are playing the Broncos?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, I'm aware of that." And I'm like, "Are you aware of the kickoff time?" And they're like, "No. No, what time is it?" You know, they're thinking the standard 7.
Yeah.
Right, set. What is it usually normally? 7:15, 7:20.
Yeah, 7:20. 7:20,
7:25. Yeah. They're like, "Man, we're going to miss some of the game." And I'm like, "Actually, you're not." They're like, "What
you're
do you
gonna
mean?
You're going to miss the Steelers and the Giants."
And I'm like, "You're going to miss the Steelers and the Giants, most of that game. So I'm going to let you in on that. I'm sorry. But the Titans don't kick off. Do you know when they kick off?" And they're like, "Well, now that you're saying this," they're like, "What, like 8:15? I'm like, "No. 8:30? No. 9 o'clock? I'm like, "Yeah, no." They're like, "Stop. What?" I'm like, "9:20. Like, you can get home, everybody can shower, put the kids to bed, and then you can get ready for kickoff."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, all right." And they're like, "Well, we got nothing else to say. All right, we're good.
Thanks. Good talk."
Yeah, good talk. Ready? Break. Brent Peterson, the man, is here. The man, the myth, the legend. The man who puts on this event, this incredible event. So just an after, we said it earlier, if they had lights out here, Brent could do like, he could just go through the night with this golf event.
He could.
He could just have people, evening flights. He could have a flight after the Titans-Broncos game. There people sign up.
Yeah.
He could have a big screen TV. He could watch that and then start a flight. If they had lights on this course.
The 24 hours of.
That's how popular, popular this golf event is. So we were talking about this during the break. We've discussed the college, you know, the three. This is now 3 weeks of college football. The smattering of that, and it's been pretty sloppy. I thought this weekend was better, a little bit better, a little bit on the college end. But do we all agree that on the NFL side of things, for week one, no preseason, no inter-squad scrimmages or practices,
not a lot of hitting, tackling,
I thought it was pretty good.
So a lot of different types of games. It wasn't a big flag festival.
There was one call that was made in the game last night that I don't agree with.
Yeah, that was a bad call. That's a bad call.
It's a very bad call.
That's just you can't call that at that stage in the game.
I know. And then you got
it's a really really bad call.
But you have the official saying. I can tell. Tony Corrente said, "I can tell you it was clear and obvious on the field, a hand
right,
into the opposing
you
got to
fill people
player.
In on what play you're talking about.
Yeah,
not
so
everybody
it was the OPI at the end. Jalen Ramsey does
a veteran
very nice.
Move. It's a veteran move.
Yep. Very
let's
nice.
Just,
yeah.
Let's give him
nice
credit.
Move,
yeah.
Very nice move by him. And Michael Gallup gets called for OPI. And I kind of thought it was a little ticky-tack.
No, he did not push off. Jalen Ramsey sold it. They're both interlocked arms, which, by the way, Jalen's just as guilty as he is. They have interlocked arms, and Jalen does a veteran move when he realizes he's not going to get it. He leans back, acts like he gets pushed off.
Yeah.
And that's what the ref sees, and they call it.
And that has happened a million
it.
Times before, no so question. I don't know if that's any particular year on any
now,
particular
it,
week.
Well, it
happen.
Changes the outcome of the game more than
now,
likely.
The play, I don't know if you saw.
More than likely, it
yeah,
changes
I'm just
the
saying
outcome
the calls
of the game.
Like that happen. This is like the end of the game, the Saints-Vikings game. The whole game came down to that.
Right.
Was
well,
it
there
offensive
was a,
pass interference? Was it not? So we've seen that happen in games before. It'll probably happen in another game. Could happen tonight.
I don't know if you saw the end of the Bengals game, but A.J. Green had it was a great tippy-toe touchdown catch in the corner of the end zone.
They called him OPI.
Yeah, and it was the right call.
It was. They
it
pushed
was the right
off.
Call. Yeah.
He did. He pushed
so
off.
It was a push.
And we don't have the challenge system this year, right?
No.
They scrapped it, right?
Nope.
So that's interesting because there was an interception that happened earlier in the game, in the Sunday night game, that Chris Collinsworth said that should not have happened, but there was no way to – there's no. Oh, you know what it was? It was Goff threw it. And he got hit in the face, and there was no way to review it, overturn it, anything like that. So
Do you know what Chris Collinsworth also said last night that I took notice to? He was talking about Sean McVay. And did you hear who he described him as? He went in great detail of who he reminds him of.
No.
Who did I say when we were watching Hard Knocks on the show? I've said it several times. He is just a younger version of fill in the blank.
John Gruden.
Yeah.
Well,
and Chris Collinsworth. Right, I understand, but Chris Collinsworth was saying the same stuff. Like, if he just sounds exactly like John Gruden. And I get it. He came up, and that was very obviously he left quite an impression on Sean McVay, because if you watch Hard Knocks, I mean, you sat there the whole time. I did, going, gosh, he sounds like John Gruden. He sounds like a younger version of John Gruden. And that's exactly what Chris Collinsworth was saying last night. But, hey, that's a good win for the Rams.
He must have been listening to us on the Game Nashville app.
He probably does.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
He probably slides in from time to time.
I don't think there's any doubt. I think when he sees what we're talking about, there's no doubt. Wherever he is, he listens.
That was a good win for them. I don't think it's a death knell to the Cowboys. I think they'll be okay, but I was more impressed with the Rams than disappointed with the Cowboys. I think we would all agree that the win by the Cardinals was probably the most impressive win of a team yesterday, would we say?
Who called that one?
Well, we'll talk about this, but what happened in Detroit?
Oh,
yikes.
Boy. Yeah, why'd you have to bring
but,
that
okay,
up?
But we'll get back to that. But, yes, that was – and we've been talking about Arizona on this
Sleeper
show.
Sleeper team.
Talking about them. We didn't have the guts,
nope,
any of us, to pick them to get into the playoffs. But we talked about Arizona is that team we think is on the rise. And I think my exact words the other day when we made the predictions, I think they're still a year away. They're going to show massive improvements. And then they'll be the big, sexy pick next offseason.
But the way they got the ball to Hopkins and the way Murray was running, he made some incredible runs. Incredible.
He's fun
to
watch.
He's running around. Yeah. He's running around, and you think he's small. He's got those quick steps. You're like, he can't be getting anywhere that fast. But it's like a video game. The people cannot catch him.
I've got a bone to pick with him, because he may end up costing me this fantasy week, because he had 100 yards rushing late in the game and lost 9 yards. He got sacked, and he finished with 91 yards.
Well, a sack is not rushing yards.
I guess I didn't see, but he got a negative rushing play for 9 yards, and he went from 100 to 91.
So it must have been a designed run.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't blame them for calling his number, because that guy can
run. Like I said, he had 100 yards rushing at that point.
But it looks like the rest of their team has progressed. That's a good win against the 49ers. That division, wow.
Woo. 14 grabs for DeAndre Hopkins. Every week, by the way, that this happens and Arizona wins and Houston loses, you can only imagine what they're talking about down there.
Oh, yeah.
No
well,
question.
Well, I mean, it was apparent the other night. If you watched that game, how much they missed him. And then you go, and he didn't even score a touchdown yesterday, 150 yards and
no touchdowns.
Is a huge factor.
He should have. They called him down at the one.
Another thing I noticed.
That was the right call. He was down.
Not really.
I watched a section of that game flipping around on the afternoon games. My son has Christian Kirk, so he's all about, you got to throw it to Christian Kirk on this play.
Mahoney is all in.
He's all
I
in.
Like it.
Christian Kirk is a pretty good player who was open for some big plays down the field a couple of times that I was watching, and he's going to get great matchups because of DeAndre Hopkins on the other side. So I just think they've got the makings of a prolific offense in Arizona. That's going to be really...
By the way, that division?
You do that against...
That may be the best division
against,
in football.
You do that against the 49er defense. What are you going to do against an average defense?
Do we not agree? That's the best division in football.
I agree.
40,
everybody's bringing something to the table.
Yesterday aside, 49ers are still a good team.
You think, yeah.
Arizona is, I guess, the weak link, if you really want to call it that, on paper. But we saw them how they looked yesterday. Seattle. Rams look better. I think that's going to be a ton of fun to watch in that division. And with the new playoff format, who knows how that factors in
now
the NFC.
Let's hit Brady. and his thing. This was
the Saints did that.
Beat me to it.
Oh, nice. Nice. Good thinking. I set you guys up both.
That was good.
But this was a point that was made. I was watching Inside the NFL. This was a point that was kicked around. Was over the years, one benefit, and I know Patriot fans would get sensitive about it, the division that they played in, usually, most years, was very thin. Sometimes all three of the other teams were a complete mess. And that's not going to be the case with this division. And right away, we see it with Brady. Now, here's the question. How much better will they get from now until the end of the year with just more reps, all those new pieces coming together, youth on the offensive line? I don't know, because that's the key to my pick. They were pretty overmatched for the most part as an offense yesterday, other than opening drive and then an oh, by the way, at the end where it was pretty much over.
Yep.
They had a little bit in there. But
did Mike Evans end up with zero catches?
He caught one touchdown.
Did he get one late?
He caught a touchdown.
Oh, that's right. He did. Right.
But
very late.
You know, it was over. Yeah. The game was over. It was just.
But he had zero catches up to that point.
They got a lot of stuff that has to come together. That's where I was going with my pick. When you piece together a team that fast, and there's so many things that have to come together.
And there's no regular offseason where they can, even though they supposedly were all working out together.
It's going to be a really interesting team to watch. Because they played the worst team you can play.
Yeah.
A team that has everybody back.
They didn't get
continuity.
Yeah.
And that the Saints are still really good. Even though Breeze is... He's getting by without a fastball, right? He doesn't have a fastball, but he still knows where he's got to go. And
by
they compensate.
After talking to Jeff Duncan when we were asking about the Jadeveon Clowney, like, are you surprised they're going this hot and heavy? And remember his answer was yes. Like, this defense, he's like, man, I think he said, he was basically saying, look, I'm not saying they don't need a Clowney. You don't just say, hey, we're good. But he doesn't understand why they were trying to work out a trade with Cleveland, right? They're trying to do all these things to make that happen. Tell you what, you see their defense and their offense is going to get a lot of praise.
Sure.
You think Saints, you think Drew Brees and their offense and Kamara and
outgun you, but they don't.
Right.
They don't have
their defense looked pretty darn good yesterday.
Yeah. Week 9 is the next time they meet. I thought about this before the game, and I definitely thought about it during the game while watching it. I hate that they did this in Week 1, just because now it's apparent it's going to take a couple of weeks. And historically, Brady has, his teams have gotten off to a slow start. I mean, there have been times where, you're sitting there week 3 and New England might be 1-2. And
How many times?
They're dead. They're done. Yeah. They're done.
The dynasty's
over. And then they're holding up a shiny trophy at season's end. So I'm not going to take a ton away from it from week 1, but you can tell that they haven't had the benefit of going through, yes, they've practiced, but didn't have that preseason game, didn't have that dress rehearsal game. And this is the only – that was the major case, I guess, of saying, okay, they kind of missed it because they just were off sync. They weren't together on some plays.
And bless the Lions' heart.
Oh,
bless
their heart. Yeah, bless my heart.
Wow.
Matt Patricia is 9-23-1, I think, as the coach of the Lions.
That is just brutal. They're up, 23-6 going into the fourth?
Yep.
At home?
Yep.
And you lose to Mitch Trubisky?
I quit paying attention to that
in the fourth quarter? You lose it. By the way, DeAndre Swift, yikes. Yeah. Had an opportunity to erase all the splattering of the bed that was going on in Detroit. He could have erased all that, and they still snuck out a win. And he drops it wide open in the end zone.
Yep. Wide open.
Wide open.
So I quit.
In fact, the announcers were going crazy like he's got the game-winning touchdown.
Right. I quit paying attention.
Like, oh, no. He dropped it.
I turned that one off, went to another game, and then you texted in one of our groups and something about, the Lions or something like that. And I was like, huh? Like, no, Darren doesn't know what he's talking about. He's been coaching baseball or something. They had this in the bag. And then I looked at the score and was like, what the? Like, what happened? They had it.
It's the Lions, man.
I know.
Patricia's not going to make it, I don't think.
No, he's not.
He's not going to make
it. It's only 1 week. It's only 1 week.
Yeah, but.
But that was bad.
A week like that can stay with you, especially when you're the Detroit Lions.
I don't know how. How do you, I mean, I don't know.
What did you guys think of Cam Newton? Did you see much of Cam?
Yeah.
Very different how they go about it, but.
I thought he acted like a jackwagon at the end of the game. It's like, dude, come on. Get off the field, all right? It's like he's trying to fight all of the Miami Dolphins when the game is over. It's like, would you stop it? You won the game. Okay, you're back. Okay. I know you haven't felt this feeling in a while. Just get to the locker room.
I'm interested to see how over time, because we know Cam Newton's persona, right? He is going to be flashy. He had the old yellow suit coming in there.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Big hat.
Yeah. So he's going to be himself. How will that blend with what the Patriots fans are used to, the media, the dynamic there? That's going to be a Now, if they're winning, we know it'll get a lot easier. We also see the formula. He's had a lot of injuries, but he ran the ball a lot yesterday, right?
Yeah.
He ran a lot, and he scored a couple, and that's how –
And they were design plays, too.
Plays. So it's like we're going to run them and just hope that the Cam Newton from a few years ago still works as long as his body holds up.
I was going to say, can his body hold
up? And they have the defense that you can do that, right? If their offense may not have to be great if they chew up clock. And so it's just a way different formula, but it worked against the Dolphins. The Dolphins I wasn't overly impressed with, but.
Everybody, Tua is going to be in by week three.
Yeah, I was going to say Pick Patrick played. So when Pick Patrick gets pulled,
it was hearing about Fitzmagic.
It was Pick Patrick. He's back to that. So whenever they take him out in I'd say week three or four, and it's Tua, then we'll see. We'll see what the Dolphins look like.
Everybody with the Patriots was like, how can Belichick survive without Brady? But one element that I was curious of was Josh McDaniels. What was Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, that has turned down all these coaching jobs to stay in New England? Okay, how can he build an offense around Cam? Again, it's one game, but you had to like what you saw yesterday with that. And Cam looked healthy, seemed refreshed. And I think it was Collinsworth that brought it up, or it was one of the shows I was watching, that said that there was this rumor going around that one of these games – if they kept winning, that Belichick was going to have to wear Cam's outfit in the post game. that Cam was going to dress Belichick. That would be something.
So
I'll believe that when I see it.
I think he'll do it. I think he'll do it.
My next question for you guys: are the Bills as advertised, or is it they just took advantage?
They played the Jets.
They played the Jets. I can't. Adam Gase is going to be fired.
But having Diggs
soon.
But having Diggs seems to put the right people in the right role offensively. We know their defense is good. Josh Allen, he ran the heck out of the ball. He had a ton of design runs. He coughed it up a couple times, but he can run.
And
but
missed a wide open.
Yeah, I was about to say,
well, that's going to happen.
We
know he's not the most accurate passer, but. I'm trying to look at them in the grand scheme of the AFC. Because if you start saying, okay, we got the Bills, they're pretty good. The Patriots are still no pushover. You know the Chiefs and the Ravens are going to do their thing. Then there's the Steelers. We'll find out tonight how they look. You know, where do the Titans fit in this whole spectrum? If you're in the boat, which I am, that I think if everything falls right, the Titans could be in the mix. Only one team gets a bye, right? So it's getting that bye is going to be really, really tough. Otherwise, you got to just plan on having to win three games to get to the Super Bowl. But you know, I the Bills look good. The Bills, I think they're legit.
I just want to see them against another team before I really make a. And I'm trying to be, you know, that way about everybody. It's 1 week.
Yeah,
it's,
well, we always do that. Every year we
But overreact. It's Overreaction Monday, and that's fine. But I'm not, after watching one game of New England, one game of Buffalo.
You got a little flyover for Brent Peterson.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I sit here and I go, all right.
Is it anthem time?
Not ready to hand the trophy to Buffalo yet. So, okay. But they look good. against a really bad Jets team.
But I tell you what, Diggs is a
you
good
dig it?
Good weapon, because now John Brown, Cole Beasley, the other guys who are not
Moss.
Featured guys, well, they add Moss, the other running back, gives them another little something. So they've added some pieces to an offense that was limited. That was the thing that you could beat them with last year. Now, I don't know. I don't know if you have that problem.
If you didn't hear, Marlon Mack is done for the season for the Indianapolis Colts, a torn Achilles. So a huge loss for them. Do they go out and try to sign anybody? Devontae Freeman's out there.
He still doesn't have a team.
This is probably, now that week one is over, this is the time when the veteran guys will get signed.
Yeah.
Is this a place where they look for Devontae Freeman?
Or do they like the young guys enough to go with them?
But if you're missing Marlon Mack, you probably could use another veteran type guy rather than having your whole season put on the shoulders of a rookie.
Yeah.
We hit that game some in the first hour, but that is a critical team in the grand scheme is the Colts, and so their first test, they go down to Jacksonville. Wow. But it's 1 week.
You can't judge too much.
Mike Vrabel's first game as the coach, the craziness, the weather delays in Miami, and you're like, well, this doesn't look good. What's going on? You can recover from a bad first game, for sure.
Like the Browns. Wait a minute.
No.
All right, we'll come back. Tell us what you know. This is what I know on the other side. First, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and we're not far from them right here as we're live at the Vanderbilt Legends Golf Club, not too far from the folks at Cool Springs MD. I've been going there for years, and a lot of you in this market have been going to them for years because they've been around since 2007. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board certified physician over there, will help you, and they do a lot of things under one roof. His wife, Daphne, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And look, as we all get older, we certainly want to have a good quality of life. I know I do, and that's why I see them. Whether it's hormone replacement therapy, maybe you've been feeling sluggish, a little out of sorts, you don't feel like yourself, you're wondering what's going on, get over there and talk to them about that. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which is vitally important this time. We get it. You've been out of sorts with your schedule. Maybe your local gym has been shut down a lot in these times in 2020. You just got out of your routine, maybe tacked on a couple pounds that you'd like to get rid of. Go over there. They've got programs and people that can get you headed in the right direction. If you need to schedule a consultation or an appointment, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Yep, we want to know what you know. It's pretty simple. Open canvas. Just tell us what you know. Got a full weekend's worth of action. In the sports world, it's pretty easy to let us know what you know. Give us a call on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 737-1025, a $25 gift card to Nashville Underground. This is called participation. This is where we ask you to get involved in the show. And we'll reward the best one. And all you have to do is just tell us what you know. Nashville Underground gift card, $25. That's what's on the line. Get in there and participate. Who wants to go first? Not everybody.
Not all at once.
Not everybody.
Okay.
All at once.
Okay. This is
kind of like
I know.
The phones. Let's go.
This is what I know.
To get people going here.
If there was one, this is what I know. If there was one thing that I didn't think would be as much of an issue as it was, but it gives me a little bit of pause tonight for the Titans, it is that the kickers seemed to struggle yesterday. A lot of kickers struggled yesterday. With the Titans having all the kicking woes that they had last year and the musical chairs, I'm a little concerned about Mr. Guskowski, but I'm hoping it'll be okay. But there were some kickers that really
struggled.
On the college front, which was more expected, but on the pro front, there were some guys like, whoa, that's your kicker?
Sloman or whatever. I'm like, doinked it off a 29-yard field goal, doinked it off the post. No good. Cincinnati's kicker.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Did he tear something?
No kid. What was that? Or did he just do that to like, hey, I missed it. Hey, my leg.
My bad, guys.
That's why I missed it. My knee. It was there. You're right. There was some bad kicking.
Suckup had one blocked.
He did. And it was from like 50
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't really
put that on him.
But there was some like short field goals missed, and not even really close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a good one for sure.
I need Gostkowski tonight, though. I'm just telling you. I need him tonight.
I
need him to be good.
You took him.
Yeah.
Took him in your fantasy team.
I need him in this high altitude. I need him to show up tonight. This is what I know. What a cool story. Montgomery Central to a walk-on at UT Martin. A kid out of Clarksville and Alec Mills pitches a no-hitter for the Cubs yesterday.
And
how about that?
I got wind of it. I actually went for a jog, and I was listening to the Mets game, and they said, hey, we got a no-hitter alert. Flipped over while jogging and listened/watched the last couple innings of that. And I didn't even know Alec Mills' story. He was a walk-on at UT Martin.
Yep.
And here he is throwing a
no-hitter. And he's barely pitched in the bigs.
Not very much, but he's gone from reliever, kind of a secondary reliever, to getting a little more important relief, to now in your starting rotation. And he's a great example of, even though the game has gone heavy towards velocity, you don't have to throw 95 to get people out. It's how you pitch. Pinpoint control, great curveball for a strike, great change of pace. When he throws, you're like, how is he getting people out?
Yep.
You can see why he was a walk-on, right? He's not this physical specimen that's just, nucleolution people. Great story. First no-hitter in several years. I think Jake Arrieta was the last guy for the Cubs to throw one.
Does it cheapen it whenever?
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
2016, I think, is the last time that a Cub threw one. Yeah. So now each Chicago team has one, with Giolito throwing one earlier.
But who was the White Sox? Wasn't there a guy for the White Sox several years ago, and nobody ever heard of him? And does it cheapen it when these guys do this and it's not, and it's just kind of they throw one and then you never hear from them again.
Yeah. There's quite a few.
Who was the guy? Who am I thinking about? The guy for the White Sox did it. Remember?
There was a guy named Philip Humber.
Yeah, that's it.
He threw a perfect game.
There you go.
And he was barely a major leaguer.
Right.
Yeah, it does happen every now and then. I don't know if it cheapens it. It's still a great thing, but it just shows you for one day.
Yeah.
You got everything working.
The guy for the A's did it.
Dallas Braden. Yeah. Who's now one of their announcers. He's a live wire.
He's on MLB Network now, I think, Dallas Braden. This is what I know. I had mine all ready to go, and then I screwed up and I closed it. But did you guys see the play? Rex Chapman put it out. It's been everywhere. It was a high school football play.
Yes.
It was the very end of the game. I don't remember what down it was, but they basically, this was it. They had the one shot, and it was the hook and lateral with the turf assisting. I mean, it was fumbled, it was lateraled back, but it was a legal play, and this team ends up winning the game at the buzzer. I mean, this play took probably 30, 45 seconds for them to actually run, but if you haven't seen it, I'm going to tweet it out once get my act together. But that's what I know. That was pretty spectacular to see at that level of the hook and lateral that you rarely see work. But this one's on the turf. You have the other team that can't jump on it, and they end up executing the play. It was a live ball, so it was pretty cool to see that.
The other thing I know, with each passing year in the NFL, it is almost impossible to get an onside kick recovered.
Yep.
I'm starting to come around to
let's try the
fourth and 15. I'm willing to try something else now.
I think I'm with you.
If you're not going to go back, and I see why you don't want to have the collisions and the concussions, I'm willing to try something else. It's not even worth.
I agree. I'm with you.
Hillcrest in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. That's what it was. Okay. They were down 30-28 at their own 41-yard line with 2.9 seconds left. And then they ran this crazy play. Unbelievable that that they were able to get the win. So that's what I know.
I also know that the Big 12 got roughed up this weekend. It was not a good showing for the Big 12. They had losses to Coastal Carolina, Arkansas State, and Louisiana. And they were pretty much handled in those games for the most part. The Kansas State games, but you could see it. Like, you could see Arkansas State. By the way, that receiver for Arkansas State, the guy that had three touchdowns in the game winning touchdown.
Take note of that guy, right?
Like, he jumps out at you like, whoa, okay. Louisiana controlled that game against Iowa State. All the Matt Campbell love.
The Raging Cajuns.
Oh,
yep.
I kept waiting for the run. I was like, okay, they're hanging on to a 10-point lead. Here, they'll make a run. It'll be close. It never happened.
Never happened. And then, as we talked about in the nightcap, Chase, Kansas, Les Miles, he's got a lot of work to do with the Jayhawks. It was a rough go last year. It doesn't look like it's gotten any better this year. Coastal Carolina, what were they up, 28-3 at half?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was over from the jump.
It was. And it was.
And, you know, there was a, I wouldn't even call it a little bit of a comeback. It wasn't really close.
Yeah.
But when I texted you, and then I showed you why I was invested, because people listening right now are going, what do you care about Kansas
football?
Well,
you cared. You had 240 reasons to care.
I had 240 reasons to care and had been invested in this all day with what?
Off a, was it a $10 or a $20?
$20
dabble. $20 dabble.
Parlay. And this was the fourth leg. Everything had hit to this point. North Carolina.
Four-teamer.
North Carolina had me nervous for a while. They covered.
They got their act together.
They covered. Everybody else.
Barely.
Yeah, but hey.
Doesn't matter.
Good teams win. Great teams cover.
Doesn't matter.
Mack Brown knows. And, yeah, Les Miles couldn't get it done. Go eat the grass, man. I need you to do better.
Honestly, I'm just going to say it. We got to do better with the phones. Like, this show has prided ourselves on your participation. We got to do better. We're just seeing way little. I mean, we got all kinds of stuff going on. Come on.
We have one text. That's it.
I don't have it in front of me, so.
That's it.
That's it.
This is what I know. This is from Ron. 49ers are not going to get over the hump till they get a new quarterback. Have you really looked at Garoppolo? He hung Kittle's out to dry. The Niners are a good team, but will not go any further than they have with Garoppolo. He does not do good with pressure. Niners will fall off.
I'm concerned about Kittle's. I just think, I mean, he got banged up in the first game, and it's like he's such a great blocker. We picked him early in our draft.
Yeah, I was taking him.
I'm a little concerned that we're going to see a drop off there. Because I think the Garoppolo.
So you're ready to pull the shoot on Kittle.
I'm probably
after week
this
one.
This is the day of overreacting.
Is he? Right? I think he's ready to pull the shoot on Kittle's, not Kittle.
Kittle.
Well,
Kerry Kittle's.
Kittle's.
Back from Villanova, the Nets. He's such a good blocker. I think the Garoppolo thing is going to be a thing. It's a thing now. It wasn't. All throughout the fun rise, hey, Garoppolo, even though his stats maybe weren't, they were winning. You know, now you got a really tough division. His flaws have been pointed out. He's kind of the reason that people say they aren't winning. They haven't won it. Fair or unfair. It's like he's got the microscope on him that he's never had before. So I'm worried how that's going to. I don't disagree with that take.
All right, let's before we head east, let's bring in Mason. What do you know?
Yeah, I've got two quick ones, guys. This is what I know. Not only were a lot of the NFL teams rusty, but the refs were too. There were about three or four offensive pass interference calls that blew games, one of those being the Bengals. Yeah, Joe Burrow, you know, had some rookie mistakes, but really showed who he really was, driving the team down the end. And, you know.
So you didn't think Green pushed off?
I mean, not in the way that Mike Williams was during the game. So, but, you know, you had all that happen in the Bengals basically had what happens to the Bengals all the time. Kicker blows his leg out. So
that could have been a really nice start for the Joe Burrow thing, you know, but a lot of things happen. I wonder with the offensive pass interference, was that a point of emphasis from officials?
I don't know.
We saw it.
I do feel like there was more.
Were you going to the nightcap game, Mason? Was that where you were going next?
No. I mean, it had to do with the refs and then the Bengals, you know, unfortunately being the Bengals. And as a Bengals fan, it was heartbreaking.
Well, the Cowboys Rams had a very, very questionable offensive pass interference at the end of the game.
Yeah, and I was referencing that, too. I think there were about 3 offensive pass interference calls where it's like, okay, you're not calling anything all game, and then you have crucial moments and you call that. So, thanks,
all right,
guys. I appreciate
you. Thank you, Mason. We'll put you on hold, hook you up. Come back. We'll head east. We'll go to Knoxville. We'll bring in Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal. Talk all things Vols with him to start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.